the spirit of Father's Day, Lauren Miller did a segment on the Family Life website asking kids of all ages from age 2 to age 17 and was asking them, you know, what are some reasons that you love Dad? Some different questions that gave us the answer. The first question was, why do you think Dad is so cool? Matthew, who is age 13, said, because I can beat him at games. Jaden said, he is very good at just about everything. How many of you can say that about your dad? Tanner, age 11, said, he follows what God tells him to do. He spends time with us. Somebody said, he lets us sleep in sometimes. Sebastian, age 17, said, he lets me stay up late for one-on-one movie nights. Shyla and Tirza, age 13 and 14, said, he takes us out on dates. Zoe, age 5, said, because he's good at stuff. Beckett, age 2, said, because he is. Another question was, what is something your dad always tells you? Nora, age 2, said, that I'm a woman. Kendra, age 15, said, I love you. Matthew, again, age 13, said, be nice. Sebastian, I'm proud of you. Shyla, wake up, it's time for Devos. Zoe said, funny stuff sometimes. Beckett, age 2, said, no. He tells me no when I go to timeout in the dark and cry. Audrey, age 7, said, remember that I will always love you even when you don't see me. These are some pretty powerful things that kids can say, but you know, I want us to notice the simplicity of what they say. And then a social media influencer asked their following on Instagram to post in the comments what they thought of their father. And I want you to hear what they have to say. Gabby said, my father is honest, hardworking, and in his words, the richest man on earth. Lorenza said, he's boisterous, the center of attention-seeking, stereotypical Italian that works incredibly hard at everything in life and is a great role model who pushes me to be everything I can be and more. Alfonso said, tragic, dedicated, hard-knuckled, and deeply flawed, but with a warm heart and sense of humor that are beautiful when they are able to shine through. Melissa, and this is the one that I may choke up some on, this is my favorite, said, the man that gave me the hard work ethic, never give up attitude, actually any part of my attitude, the drive to do more than he did, the love for life, and to just enjoy it, no matter what anybody thought of me. He was my first love, the man that was always there, just a phone call away at any hour, the man that was my go-to person until his very last breath. We're the same way with our fathers, right? Not just with our earthly fathers, but with our heavenly father. Whenever we are young, we think of our fathers in the way that, you know, we see them act and see what they do for us, and we haven't really gotten that depth of a relationship to see how they're able to treat others and see why they treat others the way that they do. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. And I think we see a really great example of this in the Bible. We're going to be going through a couple of the Psalms this morning, and specifically the ones that David wrote. And we're going to see the way that he talked to God throughout his life. And I think that we can attest to that. I think if we were to do a survey of this church and ask our young kids what they thought of their dad, it'd be very similar to what we just went over. And then if we ask the people whose fathers have loved them for for years and years and years that they would be able to tell you why their father loves them that way, why their father does things for other people, why their father loves others. And I hope we can say the same for our Heavenly Father as well. Psalm 4 reads, "Answer me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good?' Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them. Out of all their troubles, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of them who take refuge in him will be condemned." I want you to notice something about these past two psalms that we read. A lot of David's terminology is very transactional. A lot of it, it's beautiful. Of course it's beautiful, and we can take a lot away from it. But what he says is very, you do this, God does this. God does this, you do this. But we're going to keep looking at more psalms. And I want you to really listen to what he says and how he says it. And I want you to imagine yourself talking about your Heavenly Father, talking about your earthly father, and think about the depth of your relationship with both of them and see if that compares and that speaks to you. We'll be in Psalm 18, verse 1 through 6. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He rewarded me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. My personal favorite verse in the Bible: as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In these last two psalms, we can really see that transformation taking place. In David's words and David's reasoning behind why he is explaining God's love and God's actions to us, we see the foundation of this relationship that he is building with God. And God is blessing David. Every year of his life, God continues to bless him. Even when David fails him, he still blesses him, just like he does for us today. We've got two more psalms that we're going to look at, and I really want you to listen to these words. And a lot of us are probably familiar with this first one, Psalm 23. And I know a lot of us have heard this spoken before, but these words never get old. These words never grow old. No matter how long we can read them, they always prove to be true because of our God's depth of relationship with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice how not a single phrase in that verse was centered towards what David did to God or for God. All six verses, every phrase inside those verses was God's blessings on David, God's surrounding presence on David. Then we'll close our readings with Psalm 145. This is the last psalm that David writes, and it's the only psalm that starts with the phrase, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his gentleness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the name of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. These psalms show this naturally fatherly transformation that takes control of our lives whenever we let our relationship with God deepen inside of us. Whenever we let God transform our lives because we are taking the time out of our day and we are connecting with him, he changes the way that we look at life, the way that we look at each other, the way that we look at the church, and most importantly, the way we look at God, our Heavenly Father. Now, a lot of us can think about what we started off with, thinking about our earthly fathers, and we can think a lot of these things about why do we love our dads? Why do we love our fathers? Why do we love those that showed a fatherly presence to us in our lives, whether it be a grandfather, an uncle, whoever? Why do we love them? It's because every single day they make sure that we get better. They don't make sure that they get better. They don't make sure that, you know, they do for themselves. They make sure that they do for us. God is the exact same way. God always does for us. But we need to take time out of our day to make sure that we can see that, to make sure that we thank him for that. Unlike in our physical life, we can't accidentally go through the motions and grow up. In your physical life, you could be, you know, 3 years old, and you just go through the motions every single day, and you just happen to be 15. And you end up not growing at all, but in physically, you've grown 2 feet. But in your spiritual life, you'd still be 3 years old. If you get baptized and you don't seek out your Father every day, you're not going to grow. And that process looks different for a lot of us. It looked different for David. David's prayers changed as he matured with God. We saw early on they were very transactional. They were very, thank you, God, for doing this. I do this because you did this. Or you're doing this because I keep your name, which is great. It's a great way to start. It's a great way to think of, you know, when you're first baptized, you do these things because God is great. But as we get older and as we develop in our relationship with God, God teaches us how to communicate. God teaches us how to communicate those feelings that we feel as we get more developed in our life. He teaches us how to believe in him. He teaches us how to love others and how to love him. He teaches us how to obey his word. And he teaches us how to trust him. God is the greatest teacher, he's the greatest father, and thankfully a lot of us in this room have had father figures that frame themselves after God. And as long as we actively seek out the fatherly relationship with God every day, we will be shown his mercy, his grace, his passion, and we will be able to show that on others. When you actively seek to deepen your relationship with God, you will notice that you will deepen everything else in your life. You will be stronger in your faith. You will be stronger in your love for one another. You'll be stronger in your involvement with the church. And that is probably the biggest glimpse of God that we can get on this earth, is this church that we gather around with every Sunday and every Wednesday. When we're able to give to the church, when we're able to give to one another, and we're able to give to God, he gives back to us and so much more.